Thank you for joining us. We pray that as you listen today, that you are encouraged and inspired. And we would love for you to connect with us on social media. Now here's today's message.
Isaiah is speaking prophetically, and this is what he said, because this was before the cross. This was BC. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Somebody say, we are healed. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So this is the second time in two verses where it says our chastisement, our iniquity, what is ailing us, was put on Christ. Isn't it good to know that before you ever hurt, he already paid for the healing to that hurt? Then First Peter declares, now this is AD, this is after Christ, after the cross. Isaiah was looking forward, Peter's looking backwards at the cross, and he says this, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Somebody say, were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. Somebody say, I am healed. Now turn to one person and tell them, I am healed, healthy, and whole. Somebody watching online tonight needs to lay hands on your body, lay hands on your head, lay hands on somebody sitting next to you and tell them you are healed, healthy, and whole in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our culture has become toxic, and too many people have become comfortable with their ailment, with their sickness, and the environment that has hurt them, comfortable with hurt, comfortable with pain, comfortable with blood, comfortable with symptom solutions. But I want to tell you that God doesn't want to make you comfortable in your ailment or in your sickness or what is affecting you. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to deliver you. Every healing, whether we are talking about physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, every healing comes from Jesus. If you work in the medical field, my hat is off to you. I thank you for giving your life as a nurse, as a doctor, as someone that serves the community and gives medicine and helps people overcome whatever is affecting them. But I just want to remind everybody that Jesus is referred to and God is referred to as the great physician. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and if he's the great physician, can I say it like this? He is the physician of physicians. And so I'm grateful that I serve a God, that we serve a God that does not want us to stay like we are. When they use words like chronic back pain, people get used to back pain, get used to what they're going through. I remember, I think I shared it last week, that I was with my doctor for a sick visit, and he said, where does it hurt? And I said, here. And he said, how long has it hurt there? And I said, well, it kind of hurts every day, but that's normal. He said, no, there's no normal pain. It's not supposed to be that way. So I want to remind somebody today that maybe the enemy has lied to you and told you that that is going to be your lot for the rest of your life, but I want to tell you that God wants to heal you. I want to tell somebody who is past the age of 70, 75, 80, and you just said, well, this is just old age catching up. Age is just a number, and just because you're 85 doesn't mean that you have to live with pain in your body. I believe you could live to be 100 and go in the rapture with the rest of us and never have to go through surgeries and never have to go through all of the things that people with old age go through. Somebody should lay hands on their body and say, that promise is for me. Last session we talked in Luke chapter 9 verse 1, one of my favorite portions of scripture. It's actually the theme scripture for our men's ministry, that Jesus calls his disciples together in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, and gives them power and authority to cast out demons and to heal all diseases. He then sent them out to tell everyone, verse 2, about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. The two things that God calls every believer and every disciple to do is to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. Here's the thing, church. If you and I are disciples, if we are going to preach the gospel, we have to know the gospel. If we are going to preach the gospel, we have to first know the gospel, and then we have to live the gospel. Because nobody wants to hear you say to do something that you have not perfected or are not doing in your life. And so I want to encourage you. God has given you authority, and God has given you power and keys. We must use them. Jesus said, don't take anything for your journey. He said, don't take a walking stick. Don't take a traveler's bag. Don't take food. Don't take money or even a change of clothes. I love this. He said, don't take a walking stick. He said, I will be your guide. He said, if you feel like you're going to stumble, if you're getting lightheaded, he said, lean on me. Don't lean on the staff of man. The Old Testament says when you lean on the staff of man at the most inopportune time, it will break and pierce your hand. When we lean on the staff of man, it will end up hurting us, not helping us when we need it the most. He said, don't take a walking stick. I'll be your guide. He said, don't take a traveler's bag. Don't take the things that you think you need. He said, I am everything you need. He said, don't take food because I am the bread of life. I am the sustenance. Anything you need, it comes from me. He said, you don't need money because he said, I will supply all of your needs. Don't even take a change of clothes because he said, I am covering you. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave town. And if a town refuses to welcome you, shake its dust from your feet as you leave to show that you have abandoned those people to their fate. If they want to stay sick, let them stay sick. If they want to stay broke, let them stay broke. If they want to stay demon-possessed, let them stay demon-possessed. My job is to preach. My job is to lay hands. My job is to heal. But if you don't want, that's not going to, your lack of healing and receiving, it's not going to affect me. I am going to walk in divine health. Somebody say amen. Verse 6, so they began their circuits of the villages preaching the good news and healing the sick. Going back up to verse 1, because we didn't cover this last week, he says that he's given power and authority to cast out all demons, to heal sick, and then he said, I want you to go preach kingdom and heal the sick. Well, wait a minute, didn't he give them power to cast out devils? Casting out devils is just another form of healing. Because if you are full of devils, you are under a spiritual attack. You are spiritually unhealthy. You are spiritually sick. And you need a spiritual healing. So everything that a person needs outside the four walls of this church, every person that needs has a need at the HEB you work at, the Valero you work at, the bank you work at, or whether you own your own business, whoever you meet, they're only going to need two things from you and I. They're going to need us to preach the gospel, and they're going to need us to know how to heal the sick. And if you don't know how to preach the gospel and heal the sick, I wouldn't leave this room until you're confident that the next person you meet that needs Jesus, that you can do both of those well enough to bring salvation and to bring healing. Somebody say, preach the good news and heal the sick. Verse 6 says they started their circuit. We catch back up in verse 10 after they have arrived from their first tour of duty, their first circuit of healing and preaching the gospel. This is what the Bible says in verse 9 and 10. And I preached this years ago, and I probably should dust it off and preach it again. The Bible calls these men disciples in some places, and then you catch up later on in the story, and they are apostles. Peter was a disciple for a while, and then he is now the apostle Peter. John was a disciple, and then we know him as John the Apostle. Listen to this, church. You can be a disciple all of your life without ever becoming an apostle. But you will never become an apostle unless you are first a developed, mature, and following disciple. Disciples have to have Jesus the Master in their physical presence for something to happen. apostles say, Jesus, if you send me, I don't physically need you with me because your spirit is in me. And what you called me to do as an apostle, I now have an apostolic anointing, an apostle's anointing. That means in 2024, Jesus doesn't have to physically be here. He's ascended to heaven. But in June, we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And Pentecost Sunday is a day that we get excited about, just like the resurrection, because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now put into believers' bodies. And I'm no longer just a disciple that needs Jesus taking me by the hand, but Jesus, you can send me out. And with the power and authority that you, I will come back an apostle. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Listen to this. I've been in this so much the past couple months. In verse 1, who does he call? The disciples. In verse 10, who shows back up? They're the same men, but they're not disciples. They're apostles. You're only an apostle after you've proven that you can operate in the power and authority that Jesus died and unleashed in us. Can I encourage somebody today, when you're preaching the gospel and you're healing the sick and you are fulfilling that command of Christ, you have now moved into an apostolic anointing. This is an apostolic church. This is not a denominational apostolic church. This is a New Testament apostolic church, meaning the same spirit, praise God, that raised Christ from the dead. It flows out of us every day wherever we go. Sick people shouldn't have to have you even lay your hand before you can lay hands. Just you walking into a situation, you carry an anointing that should change things by your presence. That's why the apostles could walk down Main Street and their shadow would bring healing to people, because they carried an apostolic anointing. All of that from the first four words. And when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything that they had done. Don't you remember what it was like when you had when something good happened when you were a kid and you rushed home to tell your parents? You hit a home run, or you got first in the spelling bee, or you got your first job, or you had your first kid. Oh, wait, you didn't tell your parents that. But these disciples who have now turned into apostles have shown up back up to Jesus, and they're saying, Jesus, you remember that power and that authority? We used it at the grocery store, and there was somebody in a wheelchair, and we preached to them the gospel of Jesus. We showed to them that you are the power and the healing, and they don't have to stay in that wheelchair. And Jesus, can you believe we laid hands on them and they got up? And then we went to the hospital, and we went into the cancer ward, and we went down into all of these places that there was people that were sick and people that were oppressed and possessed, and we preached to them and we laid hands on them. And can you believe? Like excited children. See, we should come to church testifying not about what God has done in us, but we should come testifying every service about what God has done through us. How many know if you need a healing, God will heal you? But if you help somebody else receive their healing, that healing power flows through you, and on its way through you, it heals you on the way to healing them. That's the power of Jesus. When the apostles returned, I love this, they told Jesus everything that they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them towards the town of Bethsaida. Verse 11, this is interesting. But the crowds found out where Jesus was going, and they followed him. The crowds found out where Jesus... This is Luke's account of the feeding of 5,000. 5,000 men and their families, so somewhere around 20,000. I've heard as high as 30,000 people have found out that Jesus has gone, the Bible says, to a desert place. So he is not going into another city. He has removed himself for a private moment with the disciples. 30,000 people have left town because they know where Jesus is and they have followed him. I love this point, church. Jesus had more people show up on accident than we do on purpose. You know why? Because those people were coming for an encounter with Jesus. not for their two favorite songs, not for a light show, not hoping that their favorite speaker is going to preach, not their favorite influencer or podcaster is going to show up. They didn't come, I know this word's big in church now, they didn't come for community. I doubt a lot of those 30,000 people are saying, hey, Joe, are you headed out to see Jesus? I don't think they cared where Joe was going. They just said, if Jesus is there, I know Jesus heals. I know Jesus delivers. I know Jesus preaches kingdom that changes lives. I need to go see Jesus. And see, that's what I think that's different about most of us on a Wednesday night and maybe watching online tonight is most of us are not here to be seen by a friend. We are not here to check off a religious box. Most of us got everything together early this morning with the thought that at 7 o'clock today, I'm not going to see Brandon. I'm not going to be seen by Brandon. I am going because Jesus is going to be in that room. And I need to have a Jesus moment. I want to hear the gospel preached, but I've got some things that need to be healed. And I didn't give them the verses because it wasn't really where I was going to go today, but I shared with our leaders right before this service kicked off. I think it's ironic when you go further in after verse 11 and it tells you the story that Jesus is teaching. Actually, let me read you the last part of verse 11 because it's so important to this series. But the crowds found out that where Jesus was going, and they followed him. And what did Jesus do? He welcomed them. They weren't supposed to be there. But when you're hungry for Jesus, he'll never turn you away. Out of time, out of place, out of season, and in some cases out of order, but here they are. This wasn't their time. This was a private conference. This was a mentoring session with Jesus and the 12 now apostles. But 30,000 people show up, find out where Jesus is staying at, and they show up and Jesus welcomes them in. And what does he do? The last part of verse 11 says, and Jesus taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed those who were sick. I love this church. We preach about the two fish and five loaves. We preach about the favor of God and the blessing of God and God feeding them and God filling them and all of that. But Jesus said, before I feed you, let me heal you. And before I heal you, let me preach kingdom to you. Because if I can preach kingdom the right way, and if I can preach God the right way, then all of the things you want in your life will pale in comparison to meeting Jesus and having a moment where Jesus changes your life and meets your needs. Did you miss it? Verse 11, what does he do? He preaches kingdom and heals the sick. What did he do in verse 1? He gave them power and authority to preach kingdom and to heal the sick. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus is not saying, do what I say. He's saying, do what I do. Out of place, out of time, out of season. And he starts preaching to them. He welcomes them in. Starts preaching to them kingdom. Preaches the kingdom to them. I believe that there was many dozens that were sick and afflicted. Hundreds, maybe thousands out of the 20 or 30,000 that had shown up that day to follow Jesus out into a desert place. They followed Jesus in such a way, they didn't pack no food, they didn't pack anything. Isn't it ironic that just a few chapters or a few verses after Jesus told his disciples, hey, when you leave, don't take food, don't take walking stick, don't take clothes. Guess what? 30,000 people showed up with no walking stick, no clothes, no nothing. All they had was Jesus. When you don't think you have enough, church, let me remind you, all you need is Jesus, and you have him, so you have enough. I've been busy with this men's conference and hadn't had a chance to post on social media, and it's actually been a breath of fresh air to not be on social media for 3 or 4 days. But earlier this week, and I hope you're not in this room or watching online tonight, if you are, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. But a lot of us Christians have become very, very bad at taking a cute saying that is totally unbiblical. And because it's cute, we put it on a nice little picture or poster and we post it on social media thinking that we're helping people and we're actually injuring and damning people with an untruth and disguising it as a biblical truth and maybe even putting a verse because you took the verse out of context to help make your truth a truth. If you need help making your truth a truth, it's not a truth. But one young lady, She put this up. She said, I don't know who needs to hear this, but young lady, wherever you are, you need to know that you are enough. You're not enough. You're not even close to enough. I'm not enough. The greatest person that you have ever known is not enough. Mother Teresa and the Pope was not enough. Any famous pastor you can tell me about is not enough. The fact that I know that is the Bible says all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all needed Jesus. You and I were not enough. But good news, we met Jesus. And I'm still not enough, but I am filled with the one that is more than enough. So this is what the disciples said in Luke chapter 9. The disciples said after Jesus preached kingdom, after he healed all of the sick that were there, they said, Jesus, these people have been here all day. They're hot. They're tired. They need something to eat. And all we have is two fish and five loaves of bread. This is what the disciples said. Let us send them away so they can eat and find a place to stay. And Jesus said, you don't need to send them away. I'm here. Said, you just watched me heal crooked limbs. You just watched me open blind eyes. You just watched me unstop deaf ears. You just watched me deliver the oppressed and possessed by demon spirit. You don't think I can fill their bellies when I just cure lepers? He said, don't send them away. I'm here. Then this is what the disciples said. Disciples said, well, if you're not going to send them away, send us away. Let us leave so we can go buy food. Jesus said, nobody needs to go anywhere. I'm right here. And I'm not talking about right here at Living Way. Yes, he's at Living Way, but Jesus doesn't live here. This, I know we call it the church house, but he doesn't live here. He lives here. You and I are the temple. Guess what? Tomorrow morning, he is with you, praise God. He is for you, praise God. He is around you. And if you're full of the Holy Spirit, he's not only on you, he is inside of you, reigning in power. So Jesus does all of these incredible things. Verse 11, I love the fact that Jesus preaches. Not only does Jesus preach, but Jesus heals all of the sick. It's God's will, church, to heal the sick. Psalm 103, and I need you to get that declaration. It's God's will to heal. It's God's will to heal. Psalm 103, verse 2, let all that I am praise the Lord. May I not forget the good things he does for me. You know what I thought about when I read this scripture? And this is ambiguous in the writing, forget all that you've done for me, but in the context of healing and health, I thought about it from this aspect. When was the last time you thanked God for health when you didn't need healing? You know what the greatest healing is? Not needing one. The fact that I've lived 42 years and I've needed healing less than a couple months out of those 42 years, God, I want to thank you, not for your healing power that heals me, but your healing power that has kept me whole, that has kept me healed. Few times in my life have I ever had to lay across my couch or lay across my bed and call down heaven. Very few times, count them on less than one hand for me personally, have I ever had to call God from a hospital room and say, God, I need you to heal me now. But every day I want Psalm 103 to rush out of my spirit and say, God, I praise you and I have not forgotten all the good things you have done for me. Verse 3, it's so apropos. Verse 3, he forgives all my sins and he heals all my disease. He forgives half of my sins, all of my sins. And he heals a few of my diseases. All of my diseases. How does verse 3 relate to Luke chapter 9? Verse 3, he forgives. Forgiveness happens when we preach the gospel. Healing all the diseases happens when we operate in the authority to lay hands on the sick and to believe that God is a healer. Even David, thousands of years before Christ's arrival onto earth, was already echoing the sentiment of God that all I need is God's word that is preached because it will forgive my iniquity, and I need the healing power of God because it will heal all of my diseases. Church, and those watching online tonight, it is God's will to heal every part of your life. Psalm 147 verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He heals what's on the inside, and he heals the wounds and covers them that are on the outside. How does Psalm 147, how does that come into resolution and agreement with Luke chapter 9? The way that he heals the brokenhearted is for the gospel and kingdom to be preached. The way that he bandages and covers all of our wounds and all of the sickness and the places we need healing is when we allow the power and authority of Jesus Christ to flow through us so that healing can come into us. Let's go a little further. James chapter 5, verse 14, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Now we are given a New Testament example that Jesus has given his authority and his power to mature disciples and believers that are leaders in the church and leaders of the movement of Christ. And he says, call them and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I have had people ask me, and we get messages from time to time, why do you have people come to the front and lay hands on them? Everything you see us do at Living Way is not something that we came up with in a back room. Everything we do has purpose. Everything we do comes from the Word of God. And if we can't find the Word of God and a couple examples to back it up, then we are not going to do it. Why? Because we want to be the church that God has called us to be. And so when James encourages, call those who are mature in the spiritual things and know what it means to carry the anointing and to distribute and let the anointing flow, call them and let them lay hands on you. You, and whatever you are sick with, you are not going to go home with. You are going to recover. Somebody say amen. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith, there's so much to unpack in this one statement. The prayer of faith, not the prayer of healing. Faith is, healing's what you want. Faith is you recognizing who can heal you. So when I pray for healing, I'm saying, God, give me what you have. When I pray the prayer of faith, I'm saying, God, I know who you are. God, I know what you can do. God, I know that you gave me power. You gave me authority. I know that on the cross, on the stripes you took on your back, Isaiah said we are healed. Peter said we were healed. God, I'm praying the prayer of faith, not because I want something from you. I just need you to show up in what I'm going through. And when I pray the prayer of faith, God shows up. And where God is, sickness cannot remain. The prayer of faith. But listen to this. The prayer of faith doesn't say it heals the sick. It saves the sick. You said, but I need healing. Oh, before you need healing, you need saving. This is a great truth right here, church. We pray the prayer of faith, not because I want this from you, God, but because, God, I recognize who you are and the power that you have. But I know that the prayer of faith can heal the sick, but the prayer of faith saves the sick. And I make this point often, but I think it's something that we really need to grasp. And I know it's hard for me to grasp sometimes, that if God is big enough to save my eternal soul, then he is great enough to heal a physical, temporal crust and outer body of me. You say cancer is big. Oh, cancer is a huge, huge ask and a huge miracle. But you know what's a bigger miracle than God healing you from cancer? Saving your soul and forgiving you of all of your sins. Isn't that amazing? I feel like I'm at the Oscars and they're playing me off. I've gone too long. The thing that Tyler knows is I could do this all night long. I appreciate the company up here. I was getting lonely up here, guys. Thank you. I want to finish this James declaration. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They shall be forgiven him. Doesn't really talk about healing yet. Pray the prayer of faith, and it will save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he've committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Verse 16, one of the most often quoted, least understood. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. If you're confessing your faults to someone that won't pray for you, you're confessing your faults to the wrong person. Because this is the thing, church. I don't need to know if you can pray. I need to know, can you pray the prayer of faith? Do you know God like I know God? Can you add your faith to my faith? Can you declare the word that I'm declaring? Because I don't want you saying something different than what I'm saying. You hear someone ever pray an off prayer. I've heard people have come to the altar before in the last 24 years that I've been doing this. And they've said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me because God put this sickness on me. And I said, well, there's no reason for me to pray. If God put it on you, I'm not going to be going against God. God doesn't put sickness on you. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why would God put a sickness on you and then tell you how to heal yourself? He tells you this is the way that you walk and receive divine healing because there's a devil that steals, kills, and destroys, and he's come after you. So he said, you pray the prayer of faith, and the sick will be saved. They shall rise up. If he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, in this, if you take this for the face value, when he says faults here, he's not talking about an adulterous affair. He's not talking about a weak moment of indiscretion you had 8 years ago in college. He's not talking about a gambling addiction where you're running down to Kickapoo Casino more than you're coming to church. Man, they make it seem so much fun. Those casinos make losing your life savings look so fun. We'll give you an $18 all-you-can-eat lobster dinner, but we're going to need the mortgage on your house, praise God. If you look at this from the very basic, it says confess your faults one to another. In the context of sickness, this is what's ailing me. I've got this pain. Much as you would do with a doctor, where does it hurt? This is what I'm going through. The doctor says, this is what you're going to need to take. This is what you're going to need to do. Jesus doesn't do that because Jesus is the medicine. So Jesus is not going to tell you, this is what you must do. He's going to say, this is what you have to believe. This is who you have to accept. More than a matter of what you do, it's who you accept. But on the deeper layer, the onion, unpacking your faults. We're talking about healing, church, and I'm going to end with this. If we're talking about healing, we could be talking about cancer. We could be talking about arthritis. We could be talking about dementia. We could be talking about diabetes. However, you might be as healthy as a horse physically, but maybe we're talking about brokenness from a childhood that you don't want to ever have to relive. Maybe your ailment is you were molested at 7 and you've carried this hurt. Maybe the last church you were at, it didn't work out well and someone hurt you. Let me remind you, the church didn't hurt you. God did not hurt you. A person hurt you. And I'm so sorry if you were hurt. But the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. Confess them to someone that will pray for you that you may be healed. And this is why Living Way is such a great place. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man.